This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ooh, it was a rough night for Ohio State last night. From Sports Illustrated Buckeyes Now and 92.3 The Fan, he is Brennan Gulick, and he is live in South Florida today. Hi, Brian. How are you? Sorry. It's not like I haven't worked with you before.
I'm good. I'm running on fumes, guys. I could use some. Maybe I should go find some of that Cuban coffee down here. Maybe that'll get me rolling.
That's a
that
good
or
idea.
A Cuban cigar. One of those two.
Yeah, you know.
What happened?
Those two things can go good together.
Not bad. What happened last night? I mean, that was bad. That was not good at all. That's my professional opinion.
Yeah. No, I think a lot of people share that opinion. It was about as disappointing and frustrating a game as Ohio State's played, probably going back to the Iowa game a few years ago. I suppose the alternative is what happened against Clemson last year, where, you know, the Buckeyes kind of felt like they had the game stolen from them. And so it left this awful taste in their mouth all off season. Last night they played against the number one team in the country, and boy, did Alabama look like it. I felt all along Ohio State would be able to move the ball okay. Obviously, Trey Sermon getting hurt on the first play of the game and only playing one play after that really was a big gut punch. Missing Tommy Togiai and Tyreek Smith on the defensive line after what they did against Clemson, not having them available against the best offensive line in the country, that was really tough. And then having Wyatt Davis get hurt in the second half, it's the third time this year he's been helped off the field. I'd be really surprised if Wyatt Davis is not a first-round pick. He's an unbelievable right guard. That was really hard to watch, too. Justin Fields just didn't really look comfortable most of the night. I thought Alabama schemed up the game exceptionally well. Mac Jones got the ball out of his hand super quick. I mean, he rarely had to go through progressions. And they've got the best player in America in Devontae Smith. And man, has a Heisman Trophy winner ever looked better in a national championship game? You know, the kid had 215 receiving yards in the first half before he apparently dislocated his finger and didn't play the second half. And man, he was good. So, you know, it was just an overall real disappointing night. I know Ohio State's proud of the way they fought through everything the last few months to have a season and to get to that point, but certainly not the way they wanted to end the year.
Andy and I were talking earlier, Brendan, about college football in general. And it's Alabama, and then it's another small group of teams. But clearly Alabama has separated itself from even, you know, Clemson, Ohio State, throw in any other school you want. And I don't think there are too many other schools in the same conversation as Ohio State and Clemson. But I think it's safe to say that those schools aren't in the Alabama conversation either. How is it that they've separated themselves?
Yeah, I think it really – college football is a rich-get-richer proposition. These are the true blue blood programs in the country that recruit the best players. I mean, here's a great example. You know, there's a lot of people that follow recruiting closely and a lot of people that couldn't care less, but everybody in between has probably heard of a five-star recruit. We're talking about, you know, the elite of the elite high school players. And Ohio State has more five-star recruits on its current roster than the rest of the Big Ten does combined. Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State and Notre Dame are the kinds of programs. I know they were all in the playoff this year, but those are the kinds of schools that can recruit the absolute cream of the crop kid. It's, you know, when Iowa brings in a five-star kid, they're doing cartwheels because that just doesn't happen. You know, which is impressive that they're able to continue to build their program as well as they have over the years. So I think the answer to your question is why they've separated themselves. They recruit the best kids in the country. They've got exceptional coaches. They develop players over and over and over again. And the proof is what those players go on to do at the NFL, because as a 16, 17, 18-year-old high school kid, if you think you want to play in the NFL and you're, you know, a hot shot in your local area and you're starting to get some national attention from some of these big schools, one of the big recruiting pitches for example, in a defensive lineman, Jack Sawyer was the top-rated prospect in the state of Ohio. He's playing for the Buckeyes. He's a defensive end. You don't think that Nick Bosa and Joey Bosa and Chase Young's path in Columbus was a big part of that? You know, it's really hard to change the narrative of a program. And when you've got teams that consistently win, consistently have the best talent and have great coaching, you know, you start to wonder where the end is in sight. I mean, Ohio State's expected to be on this level every year.
Yeah, Brennan, is it good for the game or bad for the game? I mean, if you already know who the top 10 teams are and you're a team like Cincinnati this year, you can knock on that door all you want. Your odds of getting in there are, at least the way the playoff format is set up now, are virtually impossible.
It's completely impossible. You know, the only chance that Cincinnati has to make the college football playoff next year was to beat Georgia this year. And that's just dumb. I have said forever that I think the current college football playoff format is just inherently flawed. In every sport in the NCAA, at every level of competition in the NCAA, winning your conference championship means something, except for major college football. Because if you have four teams that make the playoff and you've got five Power Five conferences, it guarantees that one school is going to be left out. I think that's kind of dumb. I mean, would a team from the Pac-12 have competed well in the college football playoff this year? Probably not. But why not have the chance? Why shouldn't Cincinnati have the chance to play? The idea of not having a group of five representation in the college football playoff is just silly to me. That's what we love about every other college sports tournament. You love the Cinderella team. You know, it certainly doesn't happen often that Virginia loses as the number one seed in the NCAA tournament, but it could happen. I think they need reform. I think 2020 was the perfect season to point out all the flaws in the system, and I hope they decide to do something about it. But if you're a Buckeye fan, I don't think you should worry too much about what that format looks like, because the Big Ten runs through Columbus, that's for sure.
You just mentioned the Big Ten runs through Columbus, and Brendan Gulick joining us, our guy, SI.com as well. And this is a little preposterous, so I know that. And I know the Big Ten is a cash cow. Has Ohio State football outgrown the Big Ten?
That's a great question, and I'm not really sure if there's a good answer to that. You could see over the summer and in the late fall, or I should say the early fall, where you know people were saying that Ohio State doesn't need the Big Ten the way the Big Ten needs Ohio State. I just think that there are some things in college football that are never going to change, and I have a really, really hard time seeing conferences become, you know, less important. There's just too much at stake with how football funds all of these other sports. You know, Ohio State has 37 varsity sports, which is more varsity sports than any school in America. You know, they have a pistol team. They have, you know, teams that
crew.
Literally could, you know, compete in these Olympic sports that most schools would never even think of funding those programs.
Yeah.
And the fact that the Big Ten is the oldest and wealthiest conference in the country, and Ohio State is such a big part of that, you know, they're able to revenue share with the league. And Ohio State got a nice little check from, you know, having made the college football playoff last night. So, you know, I think there's more to being in a conference than just saying that, you know, a football team has outgrown the league.
So beyond that, what else did we learn about this season Brendan. I mean, I think we learned a lot about college football. I think we learned a lot about the disorganization. I think people who weren't kind of – I mean, I think college football fans already know this, but people who might be on the outside looking in realize that the NCAA doesn't really run big-time college football. It has, like, zero power is what it feels like, other than, you know, generating rules and all of a sudden you're, like, targeting it. But when it comes down to the big money decisions and having a national champion, the NCAA doesn't really have anything to do with all that. What did we learn? What did this season teach us and tell us about the structure of college football?
Well, I think the biggest thing we learned is that it needs to be examined further. But I think people are always resistant to making changes. So I'm not sure how quickly we'll see any of those changes. But there's no doubt that some things need to be looked at. You're right. I mean, anybody who hears the idea of college football, it's a college sport. You would think the NCAA owns and operates it. And the fact of the matter is the college football playoff is sanctioned by the NCAA, but it's literally owned and operated by the conferences. And that's just kind of a weird, you know, weird way of going about it. But that's how it's set up. I think we learned that, you know, these schools and these kids were willing to make an awful lot of sacrifices to try to have a season. It was certainly an imperfect season. I think I read yesterday there were almost 80 games that were flat out canceled, and another 56, I believe, that were postponed. You know, we kind of knew the waters were going to be choppy this year, and everybody just tried to do the best they could. I think there were a lot of people in the Big Ten that were pretty frustrated by the way the conference handled things last fall. And I think we learned that everybody in the Big Ten is looking forward to being past this year so they don't have to think about it, talk about how things were handled in the late summer, early fall. But in terms of sweeping changes, you know, I'm interested to see that too, because I think the voices, you know, the powerful voices in the sport need to speak up. The name, image, and likeness thing is very much on the forefront of people's minds right now, and there's been a lot of legislation that's been introduced, but I'm not sure how much of that's going to, you know, quickly come to be. But I would think there's a pretty decent chance that, you know, we're going to probably see college athletes have the opportunity to make money sooner than later. Most of that legislation is not around a school paying that athlete, but more the athlete having the chance to, you know, go do a book signing appearance or, you know, make money off their name, image, and likeness, literally, you know, some other way, shape, or form. It's not a matter of the school paying them to play there. There's a lot of details that need to be worked out, but it's a controversial world, and it's certainly one where everybody has a lot of opinions.
Yes, it is. Brendan, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a safe flight back home. And I would say I hope you had a great trip, but I got to tell you, if I was covering Ohio State, I don't think yesterday would be a lot of fun. Thank you, Brendan.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, Brendan Gulick, Buckeyes Now, Sports Illustrated. Make sure you read him there, and, of course, you can always hear him here on 92.3 The Fan as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.